is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. This is Sharon Sorrells, and I've got so much great news to tell you. I've got the good news. I've got the best news that God wants total well-being for all children. And I've got some examples and some promises and some research to tell you about. Just got lots to do. Now, please come to the website www.greatshalom.org, www.great like big shalom, shalom.org, to get your pre-publication book, The Government is Not a Village, The Truth About Early Childhood. I told you last time I was on retreat in early December, and I had a dream with great urgency, God telling me this book needed to be written, and didn't know at that time that there was going to be, both nationally and statewide, serious conversation about expanding the federal government takeover of early childhood. And so we need to know what the facts are on both sides. There's always more than two, but anyway, and some research and history and the Bible. And today we're going to talk about some history today, too. But anyway, I want you to know that's coming up, and you can get a pre-publication edition of the new book, The Government is Not a Village, The Truth About Early Childhood Education, on my website, www.greatshalom.org. So, last time we were talking about God's mandate to parents, very centrally, in the center of our faith tradition, mandate to parents to teach their children, and to teach them all the time, when they're coming in and going out, when they're laying down and when they're sitting around. And so I suggested, and I believe by the Spirit of the Lord, that maybe you try, one step at a time. And then first step is go take a walk with your kids and talk with them while you're walking. Put away the cell phone, both you and your child, and actually take a walk around the block and talk about some important things. This is your child's future. In fact, this is your child. What you put in, right, will be what you get out. And so try that simple idea, and grandparents can try that too. Great idea. And wanted to say how important it is that parents teach their kids. This is not typically our culture. But I don't think any of us today think our culture is optimal. Yes, we have some great things in our culture, but almost all of the great things, really are as a result of our biblical faith. Well, maybe I need to take some episodes to talk about that, how true that is. But today we have some serious problems, and I don't think anyone would disagree. In fact, I think people who don't talk about it is because they're overwhelmed. In every sector of our society, we have serious, serious problems. We have great corruption. We've got collapse and burning institutions. But we've got some good news, because we do have a blueprint for how to build those and build those back. And it's right in the Bible. And although that's the most hated suggestion today, and the place where people are least likely to look for the answer, it's true, and so let's try to connect the dots. So, have we got problems with unruly children? Have we got problems with frantic parents? Well, have I got some good news for you. Have we got problems in education? Well, this is step one, is Deuteronomy 6. Pay attention. This God, this one God, requires love, greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second one, of course, we know is love your neighbor as yourself. And how do you do that? You know, by loving God. You know, these go together. And all the other laws hang on this law. And then right after that, the most central passage, perhaps, of the entire Bible, right after that, it says, parents, teach your children diligently and all the time. And so if there is a mandate to us as parents, that's it. If there's a central core of education, that's it. And really, we can't overlook that in this broadcast. If our central scripture for the broadcast is, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. We can preach healing all day long, but without they shall be taught of the Lord, then it's pretty hard to get to great shalom. Shalom meaning total well-being. And so we want healthy bodies. We want good academic achievement. But we need good character. And it doesn't come in that order, folks. I just couldn't restrain myself from letting the cat out of the bag. Abundant and robust evidence, social evidence, meta-analysis by a man named James, J-E-Y-N-E-S, James, shows that the church-affiliated schools have higher academic achievement. And why is that? Because they aim at character, and character makes self-application, and self-application makes higher academic achievement. So, I guess that's a mouthful. But listen, is that what we do today? If we want good education, are we enabling parents to diligently teach their children? Or are we loading them up with economic burdens so they can't even be around their children? Do we load them up with a bunch of wild, conflicting, and completely unscientifically unsupported psychological theories about how to discipline and what to teach our children? And I've got good news. That's coming up maybe next broadcast. Do we construct an education system that has anything to do with godly values or anything to do with parents? Now look, y'all, we've got problems. And we, the stronger and harder and faster we go in the same direction that hasn't worked, we just get worse problems. Okay, so maybe we need to go back at work, look at what used to actually work. You know, there was a time when the United States had the highest per capita college education in the world. It was a time when we had some of the lowest crime. There was a time when children were happy and well-adjusted and connected with their parents. And there was a time, actually in living memory, when parenting wasn't a terribly difficult and anxiety-ridden thing. We've got the blueprints, folks. And I read it to you. I've turned to something else. Love the Lord your God and teach your children diligently. You know, that's very simple. And then it goes on and says, then you'll be blessed. It talks about all kinds of material blessings. And of course, that was materially true at the time. This conversation that's recorded in Deuteronomy 6 was a declaration by Joshua to the Israelites before they went into their promised land so many thousands of years ago. And of course, we know history bore it out when they were diligent to keep to the ethical and religious spiritual values, then they did prosper. And otherwise not. And it is the same today. We've seen our own nation. When we were a religious and moral nation, we were also united and prosperous. But as we moved away from that, we have had increasing social problems. And you may say that this is a woman's point of view, but certainly I think this is all rooted, or maybe the rooted in the principle, but the seed of it comes in child rearing. The seed of it comes in child rearing. If we form godly personalities in our children, then we will have a godly society, and so we won't have the kind of social problems that we have. Right? Train children to be honest, and you'll have fewer thieves, right? So, very simple, very good news. We must teach our children. And if you are in the perhaps enviable situation of having graduated from being a parent, now you're a grandparent, please nevertheless help rear your progeny, your offspring. Do what you can, and please support parenting in general rather than the other kind of culture. Be a model, and you know, it's Rav Shalom B'nai'd, all your offspring. It specifically includes your grandchildren. But I want to introduce a new thought to you. And we've talked about what is central in the Judeo-Christian religion out of Deuteronomy 6. But that's not the totality of our religious duty, is it? Our moral duty or our societal duty. Here's another scripture. This is James, right? Remember James, the brother of the Lord, I believe. Well, I'm not finding that in the first verse. But anyway, James, head of the church at this time, well respected at the time, first chapter, verse 27, and this, he says, is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So we do have some charitable duty. We do have charitable duty to help people who cannot help themselves. In that day, the widows and the orphans were those people. Today, if we are leaders in our society, then, and we are, if we're believers, disciples, sons of God, then, and we are citizens, we can vote, we have to make some policy decisions that are wise and charitable. First, we teach our own children. Then we may have to consider what is charitable and wise for poor children. This abolishes the little shell game of are you going to be red or are you going to be blue so we can get you to fight with each other so that nothing good happens. All right, let's not permit that kind of nonsense anymore. Okay, let's be Christians. All right, and I've got some good news for you that we can get out of all of this mess by good principles. Yes, I do, because God has a good plan. Why? Because God wants total well-being for all children.
Educators, reduce conflict on your staff, clear up business problems, and motivate your staff. Sharon Sarles will show you how. Yes, and recognize clock hours are available for early childhood and private school educators in Texas. For more information, go to www.orgstrat.net. That's orgstrat.net. Training educators since 1990 and consulting since 1998.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sharon Sarles, and this is the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we proclaim God wants total well-being for all children. And I've got some good news for you. I've got good news that we have the blueprint for how to do parenting, how to do education, and how to do government. And actually, how to flip over. If we've got corruption, how to flip over to new life. If we've got collapse, how to flip over to blossoming. Isn't that good news? Because that's what we need. Yeah. Okay. So today we're talking about the central duty that we have as parents, as grandparents, as citizens for educating our children. And actually, this does relate to the book. So let me just mention that I was given the directive, urgent directive from the Lord back in December to write a book and not to build up but to say it out. And so it is written, it is ready, and you can get a pre-publication copy. And it will, well, it will explain a lot of things, and it will give you resources. I don't want to say ammunition, but blueprint navigation through the battlefields that are coming up. It will be titled, it is titled, The Government is Not a Village. The Government's Not a Village, The Truth About Early Childhood. And of course, when I heard about this in December, I was wondering if perhaps Mrs. Clinton, who of course wrote Takes a Village, was going to run for president. And this is not confirmed at this time, but it certainly looks like it. And, you know, Mrs. Clinton has always been interested in the welfare of women and children. And I would be very surprised if she didn't continue her interest and expect that she'll have some new policies that she wishes to implement along those lines with early childhood. That's only speculation at this point. But I can tell, of course, I live in Texas. Incidentally, let me tell you where you can write me if you want to. Write me using land mail is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78613. Of course, you can simply email me at info@greatshalom.org, too, and I'll give you those addresses later. But in Texas, both candidates for governor, both Wendy Davis, the Democratic side, and Greg Abbott on the Republican side, both candidates for governor in Texas have an early childhood education policy, and it looks like both of them wish to expand government's role over early childhood. Of course, Ms. Davis, on the Democrat side, would have a larger expansion. And so, is this right? And is this the best way of going? And how much should government be involved in education, and to what extent, and have they been doing it well, and what is the best way of early childhood, and is it true, as so many people think, that if you put a child in daycare, that it raises their IQ? No. But if you look on the website, everybody says that, right? Well, they are misquoting what Mrs. Clinton said in her book, It Takes a Village, because Mrs. Clinton didn't say that, because there is no research that shows that. Research shows something else. But anyway, we'll talk about that in another episode. So you can get a pre-publication copy of The Government is Not a Village at www.greatshalom.org. www.great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, and shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.org. greatshalom.org. Would love to put that into your hands. It's the will of the Lord. So we're talking about the very central part of our Judeo-Christian heritage is teaching our children diligently. And although we may not talk about that nearly as much as some other things, it is so vitally important. But look, charity is also important. We all believe that, and we all, you know, no one's going to disagree, and that as Christians, as Jews, we want to be charitable. And so I've picked up James 1 and 27. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So the question is then, how can we best help those poorest people, those most bereft? How can we help them in terms of education? And are we doing this in a way that keeps us unstained from the world and keeps them unstained? Well, that's a big question I don't believe anybody's ever answered. But too often, I think our politics have been bifurcated, making in two camps, and so we end up fighting with each other, and we have no good resolutions, no intelligent decisions, and I often think that those little fights are manufactured. So let's get out of that. I hope your political party is not your religion. I hope your following of Jesus is your religion, spirituality, center of your life. I want to point out to you something that John Adams said. John Adams, you remember, was the second president, was one of the most important founders, was the primary arguer for independence in the convention that came up with the Declaration of Independence. And although Thomas Jefferson penned it, his good, lifelong dear friend, John Adams, was the one who spoke for it, argued for it, and got it put in, and both of them shared the same values that were encoded in the Declaration of Independence. So what did John Adams say about education? And let me point out, John Adams, I'm in love with John Adams. His son, John Quincy Adams, also became president, and John Quincy Adams was the one who wrote a book about the fact that he encouraged his son to read the Bible. And I'm reading from John Adams by David McCullough, Simon & Schuster, who quotes John Adams here. Finally and emphatically, he urged the widest possible support for education. And this is a quote from John Adams. Laws for the liberal education of the youth, especially for the lower classes of people, are so extremely wise and useful that to a humane and generous mind, no expense for this purpose would be thought extravagant, unquote. Now, of course, when he says liberal education, he's talking about arts and letters, not political liberal as opposed to conservative. That's not what he's talking about. So he's saying that we should teach the lowest classes, the poorest people, at public expense. We should teach them arts and letters. Let me read that to you again, because I think this is surprising. This is not one side of the spin. This is John Adams. Laws for the liberal education of youth, especially for the lower classes of people, are so extremely wise and useful that to a humane and generous mind, no expense for this purpose would be thought extravagant. He's willing to open his pocketbooks so that the poor children of Braintree can go to school like he did. Hallelujah. Well, education was important to the Adams family. The Adams family believed in buying land and never selling it, but John Adams' father sold land so that he could send his son to Harvard. John Adams was the first son in that family who went to college, and without having that college education, he could not have been an attorney. He could not have been the John Adams that we know today, signer of the Declaration of Independence, a founder of the Navy, diplomat, president, elder statesman, founder of this nation. And then he also spent money, spared no expense, that his sons could go to college, and his wife and daughter were literate and highly educated as well. So here's a man who spent his life in service of his country, birthing this nation, and he was no socialist. And he was thoroughly dyed-in-the-wool Christian. And he thinks, in his own words, laws for the liberal education of youth, especially for the lower classes of people, are so extremely wise and useful that to a humane and generous mind, no expense for this purpose would be thought extravagant. Why it is possible support for public education. Now, we need to understand what that was at the time. It was not mandatory, and it was godly. Something very different from what we have. But nevertheless, I think a new thought, and a good thought, because we need to get out of our very serious circumstances today. Collapse of education, corruption of society, and complete loggerheads and consternation in the public policy arena. So I hope to shed some light on that. I believe that I have a commission of the Lord in that. Hallelujah. And why? Because God wants well-being for children. And if we are the stand-up parents, grandparents, citizens, and disciples of Jesus, then we will work toward that end. And may God give us strength and success as we need it, because that was the covenant made between this nation and the Lord, that we would be a light, a city on a hill. So please come and discuss with me at www.greatshalom.org. Please write me at info@greatshalom.org, or if you'd like to use land mail, P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.